I want to speak, really adding on from the last two messages, focusing on joy. Joy. Some people say, oh. Someone say, when are you going to do something really serious? Well, actually, do you know what C.S. Lewis said? Joy is the serious business of heaven. Amen? Because joy and having a grateful heart is something I believe will change your whole Christian life. Amen? It's not just some frothy thing. It's not just something that you get when you first become a Christian, but then slowly the joy of the Lord gets so deep and deep and deep. And it's so deep, your face has forgotten about it. God wants us. The joy of the Lord is your God wants us to be filled with joy. Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness. And some people go, well, how can we be joyful when we've got the government in a mess and the economy in a mess and this in a mess? Jesus walked with joy under the most brutal occupation of the Romans, and that never changed in his time on earth. But he lived and walked with gladness. Amen? And I want to touch on another thing that's kind of linked to joy, is living with gratitude. It's something so close to God's heart, and it's something that is, one of my friends on his Instagram, he put up Counterculture 1960s, and it's got this hippie and sort of, spaced out. Counterculture 2020s, it's a young couple with a little baby. You know, it's so different, so counterculture. And God wants us to be counter our culture. Paul outlined how people in latter days will become, and they'd be lovers of selves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, Carrie and I both have something in common when we were growing up. We would get given a three-wheel bicycle. Do you remember those? I mean, I don't know why. It was like you couldn't come off if you tried. I know why I got it. And the three-wheel bicycle my sister got. And I was so excited. It's Christmas is coming. I'm going to get a new bicycle, Mum. I'd already got a few hints it was coming. And I ran downstairs on Christmas Day morning. And there was what I thought was my sister's bicycle with a ribbon on. And that was my Christmas present. But you know, I'm so grateful, because I had my bicycle. And then my sister got a two-wheel bicycle and proceeded to fall off. So I remember that scene in The Railway Children in their first Christmas in Yorkshire. And they were so poor that all they could give for Christmas was an orange. And they said, thank you. And so much today, we live in a country that is still blessed, I believe, by its Christian heritage. That where, you know, whilst there is chaos in much of our government and so on, we spend more time talking about people's faults than we about the policies or whatever. We have been blessed. I'll tell you, you live in a blessed part of Britain. When we moved here, there was a survey done, and it was by an estate agent, so don't take it too seriously. But Newbury was listed as the 7th happiest place in Britain. Yay! And when I see the Newbury happening now on Facebook posts, and they're complaining because they had to wait 5 minutes because of a traffic jam, I think, you ain't seen nothing. You can move to London. Our journey from Brentford to Chiswick could take 5 minutes, or it could take 45 minutes. And every now and again, when we go back to London, I have to learn to live, not allow my sanctification to be lost as I sit there in those traffic jams going into town. Listen, it's so easy to be unthankful. When I travel to the Middle East and I see my brothers and sisters suffering financially, suffering in so many ways, enduring persecution, and then I see their worship, and they're not just going, thank you, Lord, they're going round the room. Amen. You have to watch out for the flying handbags, and one or two, a bit like Maggie Thatcher, they have the Iron Lady handbag, and that could take you out for the day. And God wants us to be counterculture. Amen? I'm getting the bad news out the way, okay? It says in Psalms, as the Israelites in the wilderness, they despised the pleasant land. That's the place of their inheritance. They did not believe his promise. And when we slip into unbelief, something happens. And what happened? They grumbled in their tents. Hello. It was in that place. One pastor said this, I wish after Sunday I could sit in every car of a congregation and listen to what people say. I'm joking. They grumbled in their tents. And then it says, and didn't obey God. So he said, they're not going to come into my inheritance. And can I just say this lovingly and personally? I had to untangle myself. I grew up in a very kind of a family. We lived hand to mouth. My mother brought us up single-handedly because my father died. I grew up in a very negative time. You would say good morning to someone and people would go, what's good about it? It was like a really dour time, the three-day week. Anyone remember the three-day week? I mean, I love the candles and all that. It's like, cool, can we have a three-day week? And I can't remember if we had to go to school for 3 days, but I'm sure. But it was a tough time. And you turn on the TV, 3.5 million unemployed, nearly 4 million unemployed. It was a tough time. And it became a negative kind of thing, a bit of a... It was cool to be miserable. And God had, when I got saved, God had to not only deal with a whole bunch of things, but I had to change my attitude. Amen? Someone says attitude will determine your altitude. And I had to say, Lord, I don't want to be it doesn't say God inhabits the whinges, the grumbling and complaining of his people. Amen? What does God inhabit? The praises of his people. And I just don't want to say, you know, it's okay to share with each other things you're going through. Amen? It's not a problem for Carrie to come home and say, I've had a really tough day. It's wet, but if you, I've looked over the years at the people God has moved into really great blessing, and one of the things I've noticed they all have in common is they all have a grateful heart. Amen. I never want to become entitled. You know, as a Brentford fan, we look at the other teams. If they're not top of the league, they're moaning. You know, the Tottenham fans can tell you that. If they're not in the Champions League, they're like, our team's rubbish. Well, when we come in the top half of the league in Brentford, this is like a revival. We're not entitled. We just celebrate. If we win one game, we're like over the moon. And I never, you know, one of the things I believe we talk about, you know, my rights as a child of God. Yes, God has given you as a child of God things that are yours in Christ, but never become entitled. Amen? But always come back to Him with a grateful heart. And one of the other things I notice is, you know, I've had a few friends, and there's nothing is ever good enough. Nothing is ever going to make them happy. They're just permanently miserable. I don't know when they got saved. I presume they did. But ever since then, they think their spirit is more spiritual to moan about everything than to be grateful to God. And one of the things I've noticed, they've never really entered their destiny in God. That old hymn goes, give thanks with a grateful heart. And so that's what I want to touch on today. I remember Yonggi Cho was in a lift with one of the leading Christian businessmen in South Korea. And the news came through that a contract had been won by his business. And there in the lift, in the hotel, he got on his knees and he said, thank you, Lord, and started worshiping Jesus. And then Yonggi Cho said, now I realize why this man has such favor on his life. Because he always comes back to give thanks. Amen. I'm not saying you're going to be a rich businessman if you give thanks, but I'm just saying it was a principle. Someone came to me and said, he's going to give me the desires of my heart. It's in the Bible. Yeah, but what comes first? Come on, what's the first bit? Delight yourself in the Lord. Oh, saints. And someone pointed it out to them and they went, oh no, I've got to be a delighter. Listen, we love him because he first loved us. Delight yourself in the Lord. Whatever he's given to you to do, do it unto him. Amen. When you're arresting some criminal, I'm not looking at anyone. Thank you, Lord, that you have helped me protect our society. There was a church in Crawley where the two police came to the service because the pastor said, well, you are local bobbies and we want to protect you and we want to pray for you and bless you. And so they prayed for them as a church, and they prayed that God would bless them and enable them to protect their community. And they got, and then after the prayer, they thanked everyone, got in the police van, were driving down the street, and then there was a zebra crossing and this criminal that was a real danger was crossing right in front of them. And they both looked at each other and said, we're going to have to go back to that church. And they got out, and someone that needed not to be on the streets was not on the streets. I mean, listen, learn to delight yourself in the Lord. You may say, well, I haven't got much to delight about right now. I know. A lot of people haven't. A lot of my African friends haven't. A lot of my friends in Syria who have lived through years and years of civil war haven't got a lot. But do you know when I meet them? I remember meeting the pastor in Damascus. He's with the Lord now in the civil war. He said, this is the best time of my life. The government is so busy with the war, they're not even worried about me. We're feeding more people. We're seeing more people come to Christ. We're seeing more blessing than we've ever known before. Amen. What are you looking at? Amen. You know, it says in Psalm 16:6, the boundary lines for me have fallen in sweet and pleasant places. Amen. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Wow. So when Jane comes into the rainbow and she's got a bit of a migraine, and she comes and all these wonderful noisy kids, hallelujah, she has a delightful inheritance because she has an anointing and an ability with those kids to be a blessing. Amen. Wherever God has put you, when that cow is kicking your back, and that's why Nigel hobbles around a bit, then that's where God has put each one of us, somewhere. And let me tell you, delight yourself in the Lord where you are, because he's going to take you to where he has more for you. Amen. And if you can't, I remember one lady, bless her, she's a well-known international ministry now, and for over 2 years, I think, God had her feeding the poor every day, just serving them food. And she had all these words, you're going to go to the nations, you're going to do all these things. And in the end, she just came to that place in God where she said, if this is the role you have for me, until you come, I'm going to delight myself in feeding these precious people. Amen? Amen. And then God opened up doors, and then suddenly she's traveling to the nations. Amen. Learn to be content with what God's given you. Learn to delight yourself. Hallelujah. In the Lord, where you are. I had a lovely time with Pastor Ian and Marion this week. And they're just sharing about Newbury, and as they're making plans to live near Heather, their daughter near Cambridge. And do you know what they said to me? They said, every time we walk through Newbury, we thank God that he brought us to this town. We are so grateful for all that God gave us and did in this town. You know, I've got people, colleagues in their church. If you park your car, you better pray over it before you come to the meeting. It might not be there. People, places. And you know what? Carrie and I keep saying to one another, we're so blessed to be here in Newbury. Amen? Amen. And wherever he's put you, have a grateful heart. Someone said churches, pastors in churches where the church is blossoming, nearly always when you talk to that leader or leaders, you'll hear they love the place that God has put them. I've got pastor friends and it's like, oh, can't stand this town. Can't stand all the things I have to do. And you know what? Almost without exception, they're struggling. Because God wants you to have the right attitude. Amen? God wants you to love where he's put you. Can't stand my husband. Thank God. It's Father's Day, so I can say it. Amen, John. Thank God. Thank God. Margaret, for your wonderful husband. Hallelujah. Learn to keep that attitude of gratitude. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Surely, just say this after me. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in all that God's given you. I know one person, he was a Cliff Richard fan, and someone took him to his church because he knew that occasionally Cliff Richard would appear in the back. And the service went, and they had dramas, and they had everything going on. And indeed, Cliff Richard was sitting at the back next to this person that my friend brought. And on the way home, he said to his friend, "How did you enjoy the service?" He said, "Oh, it was rubbish. Yeah, the worship was rubbish, the preaching was rubbish, the drama was rubbish, and guess what? They even had a Cliff Richard lookalike appear on the back row." Jesus looked for gratitude. Luke 17. One of them, when he saw this is a leper, amen, there were 10 lepers. One of them, when he saw he was healed, returned with a loud voice and what? Glorified God. He fell down on his feet, on his face, at his feet, giving what? Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, "We're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Is there not one found who's returned to give glory to God, and he is a foreigner?" And then he said, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." That word "well" is sozo. It's literally one of the words for salvation. Spiritual salvation, physical salvation, deliverance. There's a whole lot of things wrapped up in that word. You see, 10 people got healed, but one got sozoed. Amen. And this is the thing this is why it's so important. And you know, as I was reading that, I felt the Holy Spirit convicting me. Remember when I answered that prayer about your house and you just went, "Oh, great." But you didn't come back and give thanks. And I just went through a few things where God had blessed us as a family and we had been praying for things. Listen, always come back and give thanks. Sam and Rachel came back and have given thanks today. Amen? Amen. And you see, it's so easy just to go, "Oh yeah, the prayer's answered, let's move on." Learn, Jesus was amazed by this Samaritan because the most important thing was he gave glory to God. You see, in the Old Testament, every time someone got a breakthrough, they nearly always built an altar and made a sacrifice. And that altar was a constant reminder, that's where God answered my cry. Amen? And listen, write it down. The old hymn goes what? Count your blessings. One by one, you learn something different in Zimbabwe, but it's okay. Count your blessings, write them down. Pharaoh Maddy keeps a record of prayers and answered prayers. Build that altar in your minds. God, and that's what David did. He said, "The God who delivered me from the lion and the bear will now deliver me from Goliath." You've got to remember your moments of answered prayer. Remember your moments of breakthrough. And come and give thanks. Don't just go, "Oh, yeah, I know you want to pray. Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot." Don't get into that thing. "Yeah, I deserve it." Make sure you come back to Jesus. And the more you make that part of your lifestyle, I tell you, the more you will see the hand of God. Amen. Listen, we need to serve. It says Psalm 101, make a what? Joyful. Make a joyful. Noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. You know, I'm a bit achy this morning, and you know, we had a wonderful time yesterday. I came in aching a bit. I said to Nigel, pray. I just need a, you know, and come into his presence with singing. Come to church. Come, go to work on Monday morning. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come on. Whatever you do it unto him. Revolutionize your office, Debbie, as you have been. Go in and be the most joyful on Monday morning. Oh, and all the other days. Hallelujah. You know, it's serving him with gladness. He's worth it. We can't serve God miserably. The last thing the kingdom of God needs is miserable servants of God. Amen. And if you don't feel it, he's still worthy. Amen. He's still worthy of everything. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. I remember one time being on a mission, and it was rough. Staying with a family, it was actually an Albanian, and Enver Hoxha had fallen, communism had fallen. It's the first nation in the world that declared God does not exist in their constitution. And our host was wonderful. But all she could give us was one piece of, tiny piece of meat every day. And I had to share a bed with this big guy who snored. It just sort of bounced around the room. And I had to just stay up praying all night, not because I wanted to pray, but just as there was no way I was going to get any sleep. I ended up getting the thing out of the cot and putting it on the floor. And I was beginning to whinge and whine, a bit like what some of the Australians say. How do you know a plane load of Brits have just landed? Because when they turn off the engine, the whining continues. Sorry, you can blame Caroline for that. That's a racist joke here. Oh, sorry, scrub that out. Sorry. But you know, as a nation, we need to break out of whinging and whining. And God said to me, you've obeyed, but you've not willingly obeyed. And until you willingly obey me, you're not going to see the blessing that I have for you in this place. There are a lot of Christians who obey, but not willingly. Whatever you do for him, do it willingly. Amen. You going to work in a bank? I did that. It was the silliest thing I've ever done. But I didn't do it for the bank. I did it for Jesus. Willingly obey. You know, I know one leader. Don't know why I'm in this town. I don't like this town. They don't even have a good football team. Oh, that's not, that sounds like Newbury. But anyway, but it's not. I'm not talking about anyone in Newbury. And you know, he never prospered. Because where God sends you, go willingly. Lebanon, chaos, wars. Every time you go, everyone says, are you sure you want to go? Go willingly. When you go to work, don't just obey, willingly obey and see God's hand. Learn to come to God in humility and gratitude. When David became king and came to Jerusalem, he went in and sat with the Lord. And he didn't say, yep, all those prophecies fulfilled. I guess I deserve this now. I've suffered enough. So yeah, thanks a lot. What did he do? He went and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? Saints, I look back at my life. One parent family, mum had three people to bring up, couldn't work for various medical reasons, living hand to mouth. And I was such a mess by the time I was mid-teens. I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for Jesus. And you know, sometimes you're in situations like I was a few weeks back in Beirut, or even last night, and I just say to the Lord, who am I? How could you use me in that situation in Beirut? How could I be used for those people to become believers? I don't deserve that. I'm not entitled to that. And it's giving thanks to God. And there are times you walk away when God has used you just to be a blessing into someone's life. And you say, who am I? And what is my house that you could use me in that way? Never become arrogant and proud. Even the little things he does, always give thanks. Never come assured in your ability, because the more it becomes your ability, the less it becomes his power. His power is made perfect in your weakness. And can I just say, you might say, well, I've got this massive business and I work really hard and do. Yes. But God gave you that ability. Never, you know, I hate using this illustration. I'll stop one day. There was a lady in our church and she was a really good decorator and she couldn't get any business. And it was so sad because I knew she was really good at what she did. And she said, can you pray? So we prayed. And doors started to open and she started working with some real big shots and doing lovely art in Kensington and Chelsea and all these really amazing places. And then I saw her, she wasn't coming to church anymore. She wasn't going to a life group anymore. And I said, what's going on? And initially she was grateful to God. But in the end she said, my business is doing so well, I haven't got time for church anymore. And my heart sank. Whatever God has blessed you with, hallelujah, whatever ways he is blessing and using you, always give thanks to God. And remember, it's not your ability, it's his. And the moment we get proud and the moment we think that we're it and we've done it, God will remove something. Until we come back to him. That happened to me 2 or 3 times. Amen? The Bible says, humble yourself. You have a choice. You can do it, or you can let him do it. And one is easier than the other. I'll let you. Jesus gave thanks before the full miracle took place. A little boy came, took the loaves, they gave it to the disciples, said, how can this feed such a big multitude, this little boy? And I believe Jesus acted on the 5 loaves and 2 fish because this little boy had faith. He was believing, well, you're Jesus, I'm going to give you my packed lunch. Amen? And Jesus made the people sit down. And there, you know, there's much grass, and there were about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and what did he do? These are just 5 loaves, and he's got 5,000 to fill. I'd love to have Jesus doing this in a fellowship meal, wouldn't you? We wouldn't have to bring much. The first thing he did, he gave thanks. And distributed to the disciples. And they gave it to those sitting down. And he did the same with the fish. And they had as much as they wanted. I had a friend. And he was crying out to God because he had this really big project that God had laid on his heart. And he said, Lord, Lord, I really want you to just show me that you're going to do it. And he was sharing in the church about this project. And after the meeting, a little boy came up and took a pound out of his pocket. He said, this is my pocket money. And God's told me to give it to your project. And that guy said, I knew in that moment God was going to bring the thousands I needed. He confirmed in my heart he was with me. Just a pound. Just 5 loaves, 2 fish in the hands of Jesus. Some people only give thanks when they get the full answer. I know one couple, and they were praying that their mortgage, and you need to start praying if you've got a mortgage because, you know, the news is looking a bit interesting. And God showed them he was going to reduce their mortgage, and they got a check for £50, and that's not going to go too far today, is it? But that moment, they said, we're just rejoicing. Because it's coming. Start small. Rejoice with the small things. Amen? Maybe you've got a difficult physical situation, but suddenly you're feeling there's a change. Not the full answer, but you're on your way. Be like Jesus. Give thanks. Amen? Give thanks for the little. Because as you give thanks for the little, the greater is on its way. Amen. I'll bring it into land, promise. You have an opportunity to do something in this life you will not get in heaven. Because in heaven, there's no sacrifice of praise. You're not going to be worshiping and going, oh, my legs are aching. There'll be no pain. Hallelujah, I'll be playing football again. There be no tears. You won't come in to a worship time and go, I've got to really try today because I've had a week that was tough. There be no sacrifice in your praise. You just will be caught up in that heavenly glory. Amen. You'll be looking at Jesus and just going, you deserve it all. On this earth, some of us have come this morning with pain in our heart, with things that we're wrestling with pain in our bodies, but you still sacrificed and gave God the glory. You have this time on earth. Even if the cow knocked you into a fence. And I love that verse where it says, Joseph, leaning on his staff, worshipped. Frail, broken body, but he still worshipped. And by the way, what does it say? Let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise in the good times and the bad times. And I give thanks to my God always for you. Give thanks for the people in your life. Which is the most messed up church in the New Testament, in your opinion? The Corinthians are pretty bad. I mean, the Galatians were a bit confused. This is a church that can't even take communion properly. It's a church that's a mess. It's a church that has serious sanctification issues. And if you were the responsible person, John, for this church, I look at this and I say, Paul, you are amazing. I give thanks to my God. How often? For you. For the grace of God given to you. Do you know, I love pastoring. There are moments you get headaches. There are moments when, and it's tough. There are moments when, well, you know, you come away and you just think, Lord, help me. But you know, I want to be like Paul. And I thank God for everyone that God brings into your life. Amen. For Dave, hallelujah. For Simon, just blessing. For whoever it is that God's brought into your life. And, you know, I just thank God for Silas. He's an adolescent. It's bedtime. Whoa. It's time to put your light out. Oh, I'm just finishing my game. Oh. Thank God for the people in your life. Thank God for the people he's brought in. Even when you're having a strain in your relationship, thank God. Yeah. Amen? Oh, I landed on this. Hallelujah. We give thanks always because of you. Let's leave that one. God is looking for grateful people. And I landed on this. Do you know, across this world, God gives everyone breath. The people blaspheming the name of God, God even provides the breath. That's how gracious he is. He will allow them to do all these things because there may come a time when they turn to him. Amen? He even, you know, he is, his heart, he longs for all men and women to come to know him, to not perish, to know his redemption. He longs for people. And all those voices swearing, lying, covering the earth. But let me tell you, he's listening for you. For your worship. When you come and worship him, he hears your voice. Today there will be probably 1 billion people in churches across this world, but he hears your voice. And across this world, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, he's going to have praise across this earth. And when this earth is full of so much pollution and corruption and all of those things, God is looking for people who will worship him. In the middle of all of the chaos of our world, let's be those who worship him. I'll close with this story. I quite like wacky Christians. I used to be one. I've sort of matured a bit, but I'm still a little bit wacky. Anyway, I heard this wacky Christian, and I just love them, and they usually love Jesus more than we do. But anyway, they're just kind of out there. They're kind of different. Don't get your theology from them, but they're kind of fun. And he said to me, you know, I was in the shop, and I just felt this overwhelming sense that the sadness of God about all the people that he died for that don't know him. I felt this over, and I just felt such sadness. And then the thought came to my mind, oh, Lord, can I cheer you up? And he got in the shop and he started worshipping Jesus. And he just worshipped and worshipped and worshipped and worshipped. And I thought, well, yeah, that's my wacky friend. But then I thought about it. The Father is seeking such to worship him. And in this world, this fallen world, he's looking for people to come to him. All of the mess, he's looking for people who will come and come back to him like that leper and say, thank you, Jesus. I don't deserve this. I can't earn this. But I'm so grateful for what you did for me. Amen. And he longs, he's looking for worshippers. So can I just say, come back to him with a grateful heart. And maybe you think you're the best Christian in Newbury. I don't know who it is. But whoever that is, keep a humble heart. Amen. Let's just pray. Would you just stand and we'll leave the worship at the end. I can see some of you you don't need to go to the sauna in the gym today. Hallelujah. Just worship him. Why don't you just respond right where you are? Father, we just worship you, and just think of where you came from. Think of the miry clay that he pulled you out of. He set my feet upon a rock. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't deserve this. We couldn't earn this. Lord, we come back to you. We come back to you. We thank God that our boundary lines have fallen in sweet and pleasant places. And I have a joyful inheritance. Just say that to the Lord. Thank you. I have a joyful inheritance. And surely, as Nigel said, goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, that we have a table set before us, Lord, that no enemy can stop us eating of the goodness of God. And Lord, we want to repent of ingratitude. We want to repent of entitlement. And we, Lord, say, Lord, have mercy on us. And Lord, like David, we come before you. Who am I? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far, that you have provided? All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness to me, O God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for our children. We thank you for our husband. That's a moment you might want to hold someone's hand if they're with you. We thank you for our wives. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the work you have given us. And Lord, I want to thank you for partial answers to prayer, and we lift up those fish and those loaves. We haven't seen it all, but we say thank you. We thank you for the answer in miniature of what you are going to do, Lord. And we worship you and we praise you. Amen.